Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, I need help. May this help you receive from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep your hearts and minds of Christ Jesus. Amen. You want more? Oh, jeez. but really, I need help. He's going to help us. Isn't that enough of a message? Now we got to make it a little bit fancy, like that. Okay. Before I get into this, Vinny, welcome. It's nice having you here.
Thank you.
Surprised you, I knew your name, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone, this is Vinny.
Morning, Vinny.
Okay. He lives in the same complex that Pastor Danny does. So.
Yay.
It's nice having you here.
Thank you.
Okay. As I was thinking, how do I approach this? First of all, we had a Bible reading that was, 3 pages long? And normally you pick one or two verses to preach on. Well, let's see. The Baptist church comes in 11. If I did that, they might be able to have the church service around 4 o'clock this afternoon. Okay. But I thought, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. I think it's really interesting that that is in there because Jesus wept at the death of his friend. But yet he knew he was going to be the means of his resurrection right afterwards too, didn't he? But that still didn't change the fact that he wept for his friend. Now, I find it very interesting. What does Jesus usually call himself? Is it Son of God or Son of Man?
Son of Man.
Son of Man. When does he start calling himself the Son of God? After the resurrection. But there's 3 times in the Bible he calls himself the Son of Man. One of them's here. When's the other two? The woman at the well. And what's the next one? Come on, you're all good Christians in here. We have all you pastors. The Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Okay? Those are the 3 times that he calls himself the Son of God before the resurrection. And remember, to come here, he had to be a man. He had to live as a man. And we know that he enjoyed some of the more fun things in life because he hung around with the actors. It says he hung with the hypocrites in the Bible. What's a hypocrite? Those are actors in this time period. And what is a hypocrite? That somebody acts differently or tries to act differently than he should. Okay? He's a hypocrite. All right, so when I looked at this, I thought, geez, one of the verses we don't have that we should have is Jesus laughed. Because if he's hanging around with the hypocrites, if he's drinking with the actors, they're telling jokes. Does that mean that Jesus, no, he's a human being at this time. All right, so I told you the story when I was told one time in a Danish Lutheran church, we don't laugh in church. Do we laugh in church?
Absolutely.
It should. Is there a joy here?
Yes.
If in the hymnal, many times for the pastor, the person who's doing the service, it says, see. In there. Well, what does that mean? Not past. Celebrate. So worship is a celebration.
It is.
Okay? And it should be joyful. It should be fun. But isn't there even a joy knowing that we'll be raised from the dead?
Amen.
That our graves will be opened and we will rise and walk the earth again. Now, I was looking at this. The Old Testament lesson is about the dry bones. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that today. I'm going to spend some because I preached on it in depth last year. I went back and looked at what I did. But I think it's important that we talk about that in connection with both our gospel reading and in the epistle reading. Resurrection. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Many times, even in here, we have to die with Jesus to be resurrected with Jesus. Where do we die with Jesus? baptism. Why? Because that's when the Holy Spirit enters us, become part of his family, and so since we died with him, we will rise with him again. Okay? So, because of that, we're going to be assured that we're going to go to the place prepared for us in heaven. All right, how can we get there? Can't you see on the last day, when we go to the heavenly transfer station, I got thinking about this. Can I have a one-way ticket to heaven, please? Okay. Isn't it wonderful? We get to take the shuttle to heaven, to eternal life. How much does it cost? Nothing. Wow. Well, how can that be? Because it's so important. It has to be a big price tag to go to heaven, doesn't there? It's free. How can that be? Oh, there's two requirements we got to do to get to heaven. Okay, love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so now do I have to love the guy that cheated out of fixing my roof after the hurricane? Him too? I suppose I could. Oh, but not the boy who got my daughter pregnant. No way. Especially him? Really? I got to chew on that one for a while. Well, I could keep on and on with this, but you get the idea, right? God says, I forgive. We're supposed to forgive, right? But humans have that little word we like to put in. But, does God hit us with that but? No. No. People play favorites, God doesn't. So when we look at this, there's always a judgment associated with loving someone, isn't there? And especially, you know, I preach a lot of here in Woods, Coons, and Shields. You know, if only you could do this, I'd be far happier. You know, you should do this. But yet, where do what shouldn't come, coulds come from? Out of the flesh. They don't come out of the Spirit of God. How many movies have you seen about a girl that loves a bad boy? And she wants to change him. She knows he can be a good boy. And then it's like the story of the dog that carries the rattlesnake over the lake. You know, and said, you know, I'll do that as long as you don't bite me. They got across the lake and the rattlesnake bites him. He said, why did you do that? He said, you weren't going to do it. He said, you knew I was a rattlesnake. You know, it doesn't change their basic personality. They have to change that. You can't change it for them. So either we accept people the way they are, or we just don't deal with it. I mean, you can only go so far with it. You know, I'm here if you want to talk. I'm here if you need help. I forgive you. But it's up to them to accept the forgiveness. You know, as I've said it here before, love your neighbor as yourself. Where does forgiveness start? With you. Okay? Remember, in the small catechism, Luther says that we must be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to pass through us and onto other people. Okay? And that conduit is forgiveness. Okay? If you don't forgive somebody, are you forgiven? No. You have to forgive to be forgiven. You have to love to be loved. In the Old Testament reading today, did God pick and choose who he was going to save in Israel? No. But then he said to me, and I remember this is in Ezekiel, Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. So is he talking to Ezekiel or is he talking to Jesus? Was Ezekiel the one being talked to, or was he observing God talking to Jesus? Scripture doesn't say, does it? But yet there's that Son of Man. these bones and the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. There's no hope for eternal life. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Now, where's the but in there? Where's the, except for you, Joe? Or actually, it's probably Joseph in this time. Okay, I'm not going to raise you, you know. You didn't do what I asked you to do. Does God say that? No, there's no but in there. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. When the Holy Spirit enters us at baptism, do we get eternal life? It puts us on the right track for it, doesn't it? Where does eternal life come from? The cross. But yet, he accepts us into his family at baptism. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. You know, I read this. I think he's talking to Jesus. Okay? You know, if that's Jesus, then God is talking about bringing the dead who were raised into Israel. Well, wait a second. If that's the case, he's talking to Jesus. What is Israel a metaphor for? Heaven. Now, this is my interpretation of the scripture. So it's the Origen's interpretation of the scripture. That's where I got the idea. Okay? Second century thinker in the church. But when I start reading those people, they make the scripture come alive. And I hope in sharing it with you, it makes the scripture come alive to you. So God's talking to the Son of Man, and he's telling the Son of Man that the people that God raises from their graves will be filled with the Holy Spirit. God is telling Jesus that the people will be filled with the Holy Spirit. What do we have? The Trinity. I thought this was the Old Testament. It's there, isn't it? And what is this? 6th century, 7th century before Jesus was born, but yet there's the Trinity. I think that's a wonderful message for today, isn't it? And in closing, there's another message from Jesus I want to leave you with today. Remember I said there's two requirements to get into heaven. Didn't touch on that one much today, did I? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Enough said, isn't it? Isn't that where it starts? In a few minutes, we're going to sing a song, Oh, Bless the Lord My Soul. And I changed Sarah, that's the reason I wanted this. Oh, bless the Lord my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. Now, if you look at the bottom of the page, it says it was written by Lowell Mason. How many of you here are from Massachusetts? Raise your hands. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Lowell Mason was the superintendent of schools in Boston. Around 1870. Okay? He is the first one to put music in the schools. He believed that you couldn't get an education without studying music and singing music. He wrote this hymn for use in the school. And now, wait a second, I thought there was a separation between church and state. This is a Judeo-Christian nation. There's nothing wrong with singing these things. You know, one of my favorite hymns is Salvation is Created out of the Russian Orthodox Church. You know, I came from Omaha, which has a huge Russian population, huge Jewish population. I went to Omaha Central High School, which this year, let's see, we were the 159th class, 211, thank you. You know, I was a band director. I had trouble counting past four. But 211th class, you know what the song that every choir concert finishes up with? Salvation is Created. Is it all right for this stuff in public school? The only place I've ever been where that is the case today is in Texas. They assign pastors with every group in the school district. I worked with the band. There were pastors assigned with every one of the athletic. Isn't that a wonderful idea?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is. Can you imagine that happening here? And isn't it sad? You know, in keeping with that second commandment of Jesus, love the Lord your God. But it doesn't say, there's the bug again, but not in school. And we're going to sing a hymn today that was written for the Boston Public Schools. It helps when you got a music education. But today, we're going to sing all the verses, Oh, Bless the Lord, My Soul. It's only two lines long, so it's short. But as you're singing it, listen to the message that you're proclaiming. Got to remember that when we sing, we're proclaiming Scripture, we're proclaiming our love for God, and we're proclaiming Jesus is Lord. And all the people of God respond with,
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory.